Give me an airport kiss, like you're gonna miss me so bad, like I'm going somewhere so far, so fast, might not come back, don't stop.
Like, hey y'all, this is John Wolf. I'm hanging out with Donald on Nashville Hits Collecting Dust.
Got it.
Hey guys, it's Nashville Hits Collecting Dust. Thanks for tuning in. Hey, Super Sick McCarty's over there. What's up, man?
It's been a while, dude. Super excited.
It's been too long. And I would like to say that I was, I hate that we can't get out as much content as I want to, but I've been traveling a little bit, and then we had CMA Fest, and that week was crazy. So not only did Nashville had CMA Fest, but this was like one of those perfect storms this year, Kevin, where somehow Nashville's holding its tongue right or something, because we had a hockey team that was literally in the Stanley Cup.
It wasn't just a hockey team.
No, not.
It was the hockey team.
The hockey team. Well, listen, most people in Nashville, we're not all from Nashville, obviously, but I just learned all the rules. I love hockey and the Predators, but let's be honest. I don't think anybody expected us to be downtown going, we might win the Stanley Cup. Did you get a chance, John? By the way, let me introduce you because nobody can see you right now.
Right. Okay, I got it.
First podcast. I'm excited.
It is. Oh, yes. And this is John Wolf's first podcast. So that is going to be my claim to fame. How's that? But I am sitting here with John Wolf. Hey, buddy.
Hey, man. How are you?
Good. Thanks for coming in.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Got a good crowd in here. We're at a different location than where we normally record. So I'm kind of a homeless.
To the audience, they're like, we can tell.
Yeah. Thanks, Kevin. I don't know if you know this. I'm a homeless homeowner.
Okay.
And so I've lived in Nashville for 15 years and I have a couple of houses here, but I live out of suitcases. So
nice.
Wherever
you're
free.
Ready for the road, man, you can go out on the road with us. That's how we live.
Yeah, I said that once. The first time I went out, the first night, I was out with a buddy on like what I think was, you know, like the first big tour. And it was funny because, you know, when I go along, I'm not working. I'm playing. But I didn't know that mindset at the time. So I was, first night, I was like, dude, I was made for the road. Like I was born for the road.
Night two,
right? I was like, man, it's a different city, but it's like Groundhog Day. This is awesome. Like I was really, I can't sing, but dude, I was created for the road. Somehow,
right.
Night three, I'm like,
I want to go home.
I didn't want to admit it yet. Right. I was sitting there going, no. Like the road is for me. Right. Yeah. Night four, I'm like, get me the hell off the road. You know, I'm like, I just want to go home. That being said, and I know you can relate, you probably have to adjust, right? Because at first, it's so exciting, and obviously, I wasn't working, I was playing.
Yeah, for sure.
That's a lifestyle.
Yeah, no doubt, man. I mean, I've been doing this 10 years, and in and out of Nashville as well. So I moved to Nashville back in, I guess it was late, it was 06. So I was here 06, 07, part of 08. Back to Texas, but I've always been kind of a road dog. So
yeah,
how it started out with me though, like I was traveling in a van, you know, the 15 passenger van.
Yeah.
You get tired of that, like 20 miles outside of town.
That's right.
You're going, man, what am I doing? So, I kind of, you know, I'm used to it. And now that we do travel a little bit better on buses or, nice sprinters, it's totally tolerable for me.
Yeah.
Unless I have to, like room next to my guitar player, Marty, who's with us today. Oh. That gets really old really fast.
Well, you're hitting on something that is another fact about road life is if you don't like them, you better at least know how to get along, right? With your,
for sure.
With your road crew. I got your tour manager over there shaking his head like about to break his neck. So,
is there like a book or something maybe you can write this book to be like, here's how you should do this.
There should be. I know.
Like,
like a bullet point list of at least things to not do or to do to survive the road?
I think Henry Rollins has a book out that says something like, shut the blank up and get in the van.
Nice.
I think that's...
perfect,
that's
actually.
That's chapter one.
I think that might be the... That's supposed to be the handbook, I think.
Well, it's one of those things where the road is so much fun. But let's be honest, what, 10% maybe? I don't know, I'm making... That being said, 90% of the time I make up all the statistics right here on the spot. But I did hear
perfect.
Yeah, that about
luckily for him, I have a device here that I can.
Yeah, he likes to fact check me and stuff.
You are way wrong.
Whatever. Listen, if I say it confidently enough, then it's right. But like, only 10% of what your time is on stage. Probably.
Oh yeah.
Right.
There's a lot that in every artist out there gets this, man. I mean, there's a lot that goes into it. Be it, you know, if you look at the whole thing, you know, how much time do you spend in the studio? How much time do you spend in the rehearsal room? Uh-huh. You know, how much time do you spend, you know, in the songwriting room? How much time do you spend in the van and in the Sprinter and the bus, whatever, loading in for literally 90 minutes of what we call fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great piece of perspective. A lot of people, newer people, will ask me, not because I'm in music, because I obviously get to talk to you guys a lot. And I think that's the biggest thing that I say first. When it comes to any advice, I will at least say, listen, it is a lifestyle. Like, sure. I understand your high and your passion for music, but understand that this is a lifestyle, right? It's not
for sure
just a job. It's not just music. It's not just entertainment. It's not just fun, right? You're looking at a lifestyle.
And no doubt, man. I mean, I think there's also a part of the lifestyle that I really like. I mean, I tour a lot as an independent touring artist. You know, we tour a lot in Texas and Oklahoma and surrounding states. We're starting to go to California. We are starting to make longer runs.
Yeah.
But, you know, kind of what's cool about our style of touring is that we do get to be home from kind of Sunday to Wednesday.
Yeah.
You know, and so I'm like, it's a little weird. Like, I'll be at the pool, like, you know, on like at Tuesday at, yep, like at 2 o'clock, like,
you guys don't have a schedule. Let's be honest.
So I'm like living the dream, partying by myself. So because everybody's at work,
right? One of the first, when I was first scheduling you guys for this podcast, this is a true story. I text, I go, hey, are you free at like 9:30 or 10 to come in and record this podcast? And his text back was like, AM or PM? And it was like a legit question. Like, cause to him,
yeah,
this is not like Monday to Friday, 8 to 5. Right. Right? So that was funny. I tell you what, one of the biggest things that I do like, and I think it's one of those things where it's like if you've ever been to camp, guys, or if you've had any of those just, you know, trip experiences, me and Kevin talk about this a lot. I haven't done it yet. I promise one day I will. It's set up some type of 1-800 number. And what I wanted to call it is Nashville, we have a problem. All right. Because some of the funniest, most ridiculous, like you couldn't make it up, things happen, yeah, on the road, right?
Oh, for sure.
And yeah, well, let's be honest. They're probably not funny at the time. They're funny like after it, right?
Right. Right. You look back on it and you go, man, remember the worst day of our entire lives? That was awesome.
Yeah, right. Which is weird.
Go on.
But you could tell us details if you'd like.
You name it, man. We literally have had some. Well, of course, we've had a lot of just great times, man. We've gotten to do some cool stuff. If it's, you know, we've done some fly dates to Oregon where we get to go have, you know, wine tour days and yeah, cool stuff with the guys. You know, it's a kind of mini brocations,
yeah,
as we refer to it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's also really tough stuff where we've gotten caught in ice storms. We got caught in an ice storm a few years ago going into Oklahoma, and it literally was like, we're going to die.
Yeah.
This is the worst experience of our entire lives. And now we look back on it and kind of laugh about it. Cause we were stuck at a casino, which was, if you get stuck with your band in an
at
ice
a casino,
storm, it can go either way.
It could. I could think of worse places, but then again, I could see the drastic
how
side.
Bad it possibly could be.
You know, if you think about that, the whole cliche of starving artists, you could go to like multi-rich artists or even just, oh gosh, now we have to quit everything. Because
right,
I just bet the van right now on red. So we can't play anymore.
But now we have a Sprinter. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That's cool. Well, hey, you know, Murphy's Law, it will show up. It shows up every time. Actually, I set up for this thing. I tried to test everything out. And about 15 minutes before you got here, like everything just went blank. And I'm like, yeah, that's
just wasn't
right.
Working.
Yeah. And I just know that happens on the road where you get up, you guys ready? And all of a sudden, like nobody hears anything through the speaker.
almost on a weekly basis, yeah, something is going to happen.
And like you said, it sucks at the time. And then if you get through it, which you always do somehow, some way, and the good stories come out of it, and you're like, man, that's really
for
fun.
Sure. It's definitely a family on the road for us, man. And I mean, I think it is really important that you know, when you consider somebody to, you know, when you're hiring in a front of house guy or a guitar player or a tour manager, whatever. I mean, there's a major part of that that's like they have to fit the team.
Yeah.
You know, and as an independent touring country artist, which that's becoming more and more prevalent nowadays.
Right.
And I think that that's important, whether you're on a label or not, man, you need to build your business. I think it's really important to manage it. You know, I've known guys, of course, I've been in and out of Nashville for years and, you know, guys that, work for Kenny Chesney and they talk about how insane his work ethic is.
Yeah.
Man, it doesn't matter if you have a big label behind you or not, you've got to go out, build your business, manage it correctly. And in that, it's important to who you bring in, you know, yeah. You have to be able to get along with them. They've got to be able to fit there's a culture,
there is a culture. I want to point something out because I don't think it's something most people understand. The mindset of you're talking about a business and yet what you're providing is entertainment and a party. Right. And even in your own crew, right? It's like, guys, because it's so fun. I mean, what right. you do is you put on a show.
Right.
Right. And it's, how is it you are literally out on stage putting on a show and the crowd's like, whoa, and then you're feeding off that energy. And yet, I mean, you can see how, or I can, or I couldn't until I went out, how, man, I could really probably get in trouble out here if I don't keep that. It is a business mindset, right?
Yeah, it's definitely, you have to be able to kind of put on a couple different hats,
yeah.
you know, and know, okay, right now we need to, you know, kind of cut loose and enjoy our music
yep.
and have fun with our fans.
Do you have any rules like that? Like, all right, no partying of the band or everybody until Saturday because it's the last run or something like right. that. I don't know.
Well, so. It's definitely, you know, no partying before the show.
Okay.
You
know? Okay.
We tried that out a few years ago. That did not turn out well. So
that's a learn by failure.
Right. Experiment. Exactly. Okay. We shouldn't do this.
You remember that one time I didn't know what strings were?
Right. I forgot my words and we couldn't play the guitar.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're definitely, as a team, we talk about it a fair amount.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not really a believer in, you know, I'm not anybody's daddy or mama on the road, you know. So
sure.
The guys have to kind of make their own decisions. But we definitely encourage everybody. I mean, the job and the product comes first.
That's right.
And, man, if you want to stay up after the show until, you know, 5 a.m. and feel terrible tomorrow, God bless you. Go yeah, for it,
that's
buddy.
Fine, but come tomorrow night, you better be on point. Yeah, I like
right,
that.
Exactly.
Yeah, I get that. Well, that's fun, man. It's one of those things that I honestly don't know. I would have never been able to just be able to ask stuff like this if I hadn't just seen it and like, oh crap. Like,
sure.
This is different, you sure. know, and I'm not in music. I have the passion for music. I just don't have the ability.
Sure.
So I talk.
Are there things that maybe, good. And you talk about business and I love that aspect of it and the mentality of it. Are there things that you focus on more now from the business mindset, social media, tech, something on that nature that you are saying, hey, we got to invest more time, energy, and effort in here than you maybe not 3, 4, 5 years ago?
Yeah, I mean, 110% on social media and
I've
promotion.
Heard of that.
I mean, it's like...
Which one, though? There's only like 10 of them now.
It's all of them. It's amazing how... Mm-hmm. We have Zoe with us as well.
Zoe!
Part of my management team and...
Hi Zoe. Yo.
Oh, what's up?
You kind of hurt her a little bit. That's her.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's, I mean, it really, I mean, I kind of feel like that the further I've gotten into my career, the further you kind of, I kind of look at it like climbing this really tall tower. It does get scarier and the stakes get higher, mm-hmm. you know, but you also become more focused. So in terms of what I have to do as a country artist, I mean, and again, I'm an independent artist and I'm proud of that. You know, like yeah. a lot of people look, you know, to be completely honest, and there's a lot of people listening to this that are in the business. Everybody knows that, you know, when you get a great record deal, great. But when you don't have a great record deal, it can be really bad.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So get out and make your music and make it great. And, you know, and again, that's how I believe, you know, when I look at each record, I'm not one of these guys. I can't put together a, you know, an 8-song CD, and maybe there's a couple singles, and out it comes.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I literally pour my heart and soul into my records, because I know that every single product I put out, you know, I don't have an A&R team per se.
Yeah.
We don't have, you know, they have to be up to par, man. So I believe we put out records that are as strong and sound just as good as what you're going to find from a major label artist. And so it starts with the product. Then it from there it goes into promotion, and you're going, you know, 5 years ago, you go, hey, I'm thinking about running an ad, man.
Yep.
What do you think? And now I've got so many across so many platforms, and it's all geo-targeted. It's a completely different thing, to where we literally, you know, between Zoe and some outsourced help as well, I can't even grasp how many we have out at this point in time. And that's part of not only pushing, you know, the record, our new record, but also pushing a full scale tour, you know, tour schedule.
Yeah.
You know, so
well, you've done very well.
Thank you.
It was funny. Well, not funny, but I told Kevin, who was coming in, was like, oh my God, I love that guy. You know,
cool.
So, you know, your music's great.
I appreciate it.
You have, I'll tell you, I keep telling myself I'm not going to talk anything about age, but you know, there's different types, I think, even within country music now, right?
Right.
You and I were talking briefly before we hit record, just the difference in Texas style country, or, you know, I guess mainstream, or even, you know, I guess there's been terms thrown out like bro country, you know, all kinds of different segments of genre. Right. But, I love your style. You were mentioning,
I mean,
when you hit this George Strait, you know, Garth Brooks, you know, you said, did you know Garth at all? I know you are from the same state.
No, I mean,
it's kind of a large,
right?
But
that was a good try, though.
I tried. Yeah.
Yes, I yeah. was. No, I've never met Garth, but you know. So in terms of, you know, my music, and when you look at demographics, I mean, and man, that's changing a lot every day too. I mean, we see, you know, in Texas, I see a lot of kids that literally age 16 to 21 that are going back to traditional country, two-stepping is starting to come back. They're wearing old school Wranglers. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, man. And so, you know, I think, and I kind of fell into this, but the style of music that I do has really kind of a relatively wide demographic base. I mean, you know, I've got people that come, you know, we just played Kane's Ballroom in Tulsa, and, you know, they're the same people that are going to go, you know, they're going to go watch, they're going to watch Jamie Johnson. They're going to watch Asleep at the Wheel. They're going to watch some old school country type stuff, and they're going to come to my show. But then we also have this younger base that's going, hey man, it's fresh enough. It's modern enough for us to go, you know, we're into this right now.
Yeah.
You know, so
does that affect how you write? Or are you just being, you know, true to who you are? Or are you looking at the demographics going, trying to, you know, I guess, predict what's coming back or going to be? I don't know.
No, I mean, I think, you know, definitely, like, you know, my records, I feel like they're, you know, I try not to sort of pigeonhole myself in a certain demographic. And I look at songs like, you know, and again, so, you know, the main proximity I've had to any famous country singers, my first manager was Trey Strait, so George Strait's nephew. And we came to town together for the first time back in 06. So that's 10 years ago. And I played a private New Year's party for George Strait. I've hung out with George. I've sang in front of George quite a few times. It's never gets easy.
I was about to say, that's not like intimidating or anything.
Yeah, you know. But he's just a really cool guy, man. I mean, who you envision him to be is who he is.
Yeah.
But, you know, I really just loved how he handled his career and handles it to this day. And I think about songs like, you know, Carried Away and Run and Out of the Blue Clear Sky, you know, all that stuff that, man, it doesn't matter how old you are, you just like it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's kind of what I've tried to do with mine. And, you know, occasionally there's some stuff that on my records that, okay, this is kind of going to be something the younger bass will dig a little bit more than this song, you know?
Yeah.
But in general, you know, I think it's about trying to make, you know, country music for everybody.
Sure.
You know?
Well, you know, I've always said there's 7 billion people in the world. And yeah, there's a lot of changes that are happening within the industry, but really in every business, right? I think we're all still trying to figure it out. The cool part about it is as an indie or, and I've had artists that, you know, you're talking about the big record deal and label and all that stuff. Tell me that even if that happens, that's, you know, people think, oh, you've made it. But really, that's when the work begins too. I mean, there is no... You know, regardless. And I think that the beauty of kind of where we are now is that, yes, while it might be a little bit more challenging from a resource standpoint, you can do it as an indie now. Like, there really is that possibility, right? And
Sure.
It's a lot of that hustle, but you still kind of want to focus on what you do best and then get those good people around you that do what they do best, right? And then you go back to that kind of road mentality, like, hey, I can play the guitar, but not like him. So let's let him lead it, right? And that's the point, right? Is let get people in the place where they are just thriving, they love it, and they're good at it. And then, hey, let's go out and have a really good time. And I think people connect with that, right?
So, and I mean, I think, and I talked a little bit about the difference between being an indie artist versus a label artist. The differences are getting less and less.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is no matter. And like you're saying, I mean, it's hard to run any kind of business nowadays or pursue a dream. It's tough. So, I mean, you have to, it's definitely, I mean, you got to get your game face on and be prepared to work long hours.
Yeah.
And hopefully if you love what you do, you know, it's not considered work, right?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
So,
hey, you just totally led me into my phenomenal 3 questions that I ask every artist.
Well, I think before you jump into that, because that always leads down amazing rabbit holes and I can't wait for it. But so we had, in just the difference between indie side of it and the record side of it, I think we had a guest on, Logan Mize, who came on and he talked a lot about what he did for his Glenn the Wagon tour, which was outside of the label. And he said, I'm going to run this thing.
Right.
And he just said, I'm going to send this email out to all of my fans and saying, do you want me to come to you? I'll play XYZ, and ran it for a couple months. It was just on the road with this station wagon and kind of talked through that process of like, look, I'm going to kind of think about this a little bit differently because there's a lot of things that my label wants me to do, but I kind of have this thought of I'm going to go to my fans. And he was like, it was an incredible 3-month run of going out to these fans that were just having me out and at their barns for 40, 50, 60 people. And sure. He was like, it was one of the best things ever. But he was like, what was interesting is taking that mindset of where are my fans? Let me go to them, into kind of approaching it that way, which was outside of what the label was like, hey, you should do these type of things, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you know, I find it interesting. And again, any kind of business, it's usually it usually starts out, a lot of people kind of have a bunch of ideas and nobody wants to jump and be the first one to do it. And then when finally someone goes, okay, dude, I've got this idea and I'm going to do this.
Yeah.
Then they all get on board.
Yep.
It's just the nature of it. And execution. I think it takes that, you know, as an artist nowadays to just be like, man, I want to do this, you know, unless it's complete career suicide, you know.
Yeah. Don't do that.
You know,
well, let me make a point there. This is going to lead into the 3 questions, but you're hitting on something that a lot of our audience obviously are music fans and maybe they're trying to pursue music, but really what we're talking about is pursuing a dream. At the end of the day, you're passionate, you have a skill set and you're good. And it's like, is there always the perfect equation to, you know, pursuing a dream? And I don't know if there is, but I think there is some common principles.
Sure.
That regardless if you're pursuing music or, you know, whatever. And it's funny because I think a lot of people, especially entrepreneurs in general, are trying to think outside the box. And you hit on something that is even kind of still happening in my life right now, is there's some people that will take that complete outside of the box decision. And it's like, okay, are they the one that really starts, you know, the movement, or is it that second person that jumps on board and affirms them. And, sure. and the reason why I say that is like, even with this, I had this idea. I'm not that I'm the first one to do a podcast, but I did 30, 40 episodes. And then I don't know, I was doubting myself a little bit. It was fun to me, but I'm like, I don't know, maybe nobody wants to hear it. But then Kevin calls and goes, dude, I want in. And it was sure. almost the affirmation of, no, this is good. Right. And now with that, start something.
Sure.
And so I guess if you're listening to this, hey, if you have a great idea, like don't be afraid to go do it, but then find that champion. Find the guy, the person, the girl, whatever, that is just behind you, because it's affirmation, it's credibility, and it's like that's what starts a movement.
Absolutely.
You know? So that was a good point that you made in a lot of ways, but I have these three questions. So, because we could talk, honestly, for 2 hours. I try to keep it to under an hour.
Yeah. Joe Rogan's podcast can keep the 4 or 5 hour sessions. We will yeah. not. We got things to do.
That's right.
Not that he doesn't. Sorry, Joe. But, yeah. I get it. You get 1 billion downloads. We love you.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah, yeah. Just share 1 million. Anyway. Good. So there are no right or wrong answers, John. And even though we will be judging you compared to other.
I keep a tracker here.
Yeah.
John's answers.
But no, they're really for all of us, regardless if it's music or not. So if you could have coffee with yourself, knowing what you know now, but right when you started pursuing, you know, music is it, right? Mm-hmm. This is what I'm going to pursue. This is my life goal and dream. Knowing what you know now, if you could have coffee with your younger self, what would you say?
Man, that's a tough question, dude. I appreciate you guys having me on today, man. I'm out of here. So,
all right. So, technical difficulties.
Oh, wow. No, I think, I think looking back, and it kind of really falls into really what we're talking about. I mean, I think when I first started out, I've always had sort of an ability to dream, but I don't know that I knew then that I would have to kind of, in a way, manhandle the process. You know, I think that a lot of times, this is really specific to artists and people that are, you know, that are going into country music or any genre and want to have that dream. Nobody's going to do it for you. Mm. It's just the truth. And I think early on for me, I thought I was still under the assumption that, dude, you roll into town and you like sing really good and you mm-hmm. look good mm-hmm. and, you get the deal. And then a week later, your song's at radio. Mm. And you're high-fiving Garth Brooks on the, you know what I mean? It's like,
yeah,
I literally had that assumption. And I think that if I could go back when I first started, I would have said, hey, dude, don't buy into that. Start one step at a time. And, my mom even back then used to tell me like, hey, John, you're dreaming big. That's great. But, you know, it's always one step at a time, you know, think about, and I know that's kind of tough because people are like, man, you're supposed to dream these big dreams, but you can't forget about each little step to get there, I guess is what I'm yeah. getting at. So, I was under the assumption for a while and I wasted some time in that way, you know, where I wanted other people to do it for me.
That's a good perspective. I think what I just took from that was, and I can see why, honestly. I think a lot of people even say or think, I sing well, do well in order to find that person, i.e. label, mm-hmm. and then it's done for me almost.
Right.
But once again, even if and when you find that person, it's like the work just begins.
For sure.
And I could totally see why, though. It's like, I will be this until somebody goes, oh, yeah, now I got it.
Right.
And I
also think that there are big success stories that happen every day, or not every day, occasionally, that sort of lend us to believe that that's what happened to them. Right? You know, so it's like, you know, if you look at, whoever it might be, a big pop star that made it when they were, 18, they were discovered somewhere. But probably what they don't know is that mom and dad had that that was grooming that pop star when they were like five, you know, like they've lived every day doing those things. And you, but you see these success stories, and I think that a lot of people get delusional about the process. And in, I'm a sports guy, so I look at guys like, and I say this to a lot of people, I'm like, man, you know, you got all these guys that made it into the NBA, right? I'm a basketball guy. So you got all these guys that made it in the NBA, and what's their chances to get into the NBA? I mean, it's like slim to none, right? They make it. Then out of all those dudes, there's like, what, 20 all-stars?
Yep.
You know, and to make it to be an all-star, that percentage is even more slim, right? It's small. And then out of the all-stars,
right,
you got your LeBron James.
That's right.
You got that one big superstar. And why that's the case, you never know. That's all written in the stars. You can't waste your time thinking, well, why is that guy so but just, you know what I mean? So it's all those other guys that are all-stars, amazing careers though, right? Yep. They embrace that situation, embrace that opportunity, and work hard to get there. And even the guys that aren't all-stars, dude, if you're an NBA player, man, hats off to you, man.
Right?
You're right. So that's how it's the same thing in music, man. I mean, you can't sit and look around at other people's careers. You just need to focus on yours, work really, really hard on your craft, and just know that nobody's going to do it for you.
So it's funny, sticking on the basketball theme, I think no one can argue John Wooden, greatest basketball coach of all time.
Sure.
So his first practice, and this is one of my favorite stories, his first practice, new season starts, all the players are on the court. Most people would say, all right, let's get conditioning going. Let's start running sprints. Let's go. Do you know what his first practice was? How to put on your socks correctly.
Wait, like every season
just the first practice of every season is how to put your socks on.
Huh.
Why? The process.
Right.
He was like, if you don't put your socks on right, could get a blister.
Yep.
Then you're late to a pick, late to a screen, late to your position, throws this guy off, everything's screwed up.
Yeah.
Greatest coach of all time.
Yeah.
It's not he rode them the hardest and said, he wasn't the best motivational speaker of like, we're going to go win 10 straight championships. He did it because of that stuff. The process of being like, first step.
That's for sure.
Put your damn socks on right.
And that's one thing I'll add. I know we're getting into the 4 hour.
There's no rules. There's really
we're
no
good,
rules,
man.
But you know, I'm also, and again, and I talk to my guys about this. Like, you know, I look at Tom Brady and the Patriots, like, you know, they don't necessarily worry about, you know, wins and losses. It's about their system and their process. And I think it's got to be the same way, in my opinion. If you want to be a country singer, if you want to be a pop artist, whatever, a great writer, it's, man, get up and do your work on your craft and work on your business. Don't look around and let the results sort of speak for themselves. And it's not always, if you're not LeBron James, it doesn't mean that you don't have a great career,
right.
You know?
I mean, that goes back to like defining what success is to you. And, you know, if you're always looking at how far you have to go, you never really get to celebrate how far you've come.
Sure.
You know, and like all those just kind of, they really are mindset perspectives. That's why I do this in a lot of ways. It's entertaining and it's fun because obviously you guys and music are so good, but really you're pursuing a dream. And that's something that, you know, we all, I think, aspire for regardless if it's music or whatever. And those common principles like this, I think, is what it honestly has to be reinforced. This is something I search out and try to communicate, and I still need reminding daily,
right,
on even the little stuff.
Yeah.
So a lot of people will hear this stuff and go, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I know, but you have amnesia. Like, you forget every night, and somebody's got to be there to go, hey, you remember it's about the process, right?
Right, right.
Even though you gave that same advice yesterday.
Right.
Oh, right.
Yeah. No doubt.
Which, God, there's so much there. So it might even came into the second one, but do you have maybe one piece of advice, you know, growing up or anytime really, that somebody else gave you that you've just never forgotten? You know, it's always stuck with you and just something that you just tried to live by.
Man, it's, you know, so when I came to Nashville, you know, I did really try to dive into as much co-writing as possible. And, I don't get to write as much as I used to, just the amount of touring we're doing. And there's a whole process to finding great songs too. And that's another side note, but, Nashville has amazing songwriters and it's getting harder and harder for them, as we all know. So, hey, if you're a big artist or if you're an artist, man, cut outside songs because it's important.
Oh, that's great.
But there's a guy that, was a mentor to me and, in a lot of ways, his name was Tim Johnson. And, Tim passed away a few years ago here. He was, he'll probably end up being a Hall of Fame songwriter. I mean, he was a mainstay on Music Row and, Tim was just, I mean, not only my co-writer on a lot of, so my new record, Any Night in Texas, is my third studio record. My first album, It All Happened in a Honky Tonk, and then the next record was called Natural Man. Tim and I wrote a lot, all my early stuff. I got my first cut as a songwriter on Joe Nichols on a song that me and Tim and James Dean Hicks wrote together. And, but man, I was kind of struggling. It was sort of my second. I had a deal early on here in town. The label went out of business. I went back to Texas. I was working on a ranch and just trying to kind of get my head straight.
Yep.
You know, and Tim and James Dean Hicks, they came down. They said, "Man, you got to get back on the horse, man. Let's go. You know, let's get you writing again." And they came to Texas and we started writing. And then I kind of made my second approach to Nashville, I guess, at the time, which was, you know, I was here a chunk of late 08 and 09 and early 2010, really. And again, kind of hitting up against a lot of the same obstacles that everybody hits up against. But I think my mentality was just always, man, I got to be doing something. I wanted to tour, you know, that was the big thing. It just was eating me alive every day. Like, man, I want to be out touring. I want to be playing shows. And, you know, in Nashville, there's a process to that. If you do get a deal, there's a process to getting out on the road. Mm-hmm. I was just chomping at the bit to play. Tim Johnson said two things to me, man. We sat down, we met for coffee one morning, and he said, he goes, "Johnny, man," he goes, "I don't know why it hasn't happened for you yet." He goes, "But I think it's going to. And I want you to know when it happens, you're gonna be really disappointed." And I was like, okay, good morning.
I did not see
good
that.
Good morning. Thank you for the coffee, Tim. Right. I greatly appreciate it. Good morning. Are we okay? Everything all right?
Yeah.
But he said, man, it's just not the answer to all your problems. It's not the answer to your life. I mean, there's still life to be led. It could become a great career. You can achieve your dreams, but it's not going to fulfill you to the nth degree, you know? So, the next thing he told me was, he said, "Dude, go back to Texas, start playing." He's like, Willie Nelson did it. Waylon Jennings did it. He said, "Great music comes from people, not a place." And that was the second big thing that I always remember, that just because that can go for anything. That can be for somebody in Texas that wants to be in Nashville, or somebody in Nashville that wants to be in LA. Like, you know, grab a hold of your talent and your craft and you know, go where you feel like you belong. You know, it's not just about being here that's going to make you, you know, successful. It's about what comes out of you. And, Texas inspires me. And I think that I kind of live off that. That's my fuel. I can't explain it to be completely honest. Like when I, you know, lived here in Nashville, I didn't operate at the highest level I could. I think there's something about, you know, a geographic location for some people that just, you know, brings a different level of energy to them. So for me, I was like, man, all right, I think I'm going to go back to Texas and get this thing rolling. And that's been, you know, 5 or 6 years and building a fan base and touring. And so, anyways, that would be probably one of the most, impactful statements.
I gotta stop you there and let that sit a little bit. Honestly, if we were in church right now, I'd stop and call an invitation because you were speaking my language right there. I'm not even kidding. That first piece of advice that he said, I didn't see that coming. You kind of threw me off right there, but is really one of the things that I try. Well, let me just say that I need to hear the most, which is why I go out and speak on it.
Right.
And what you said was, I think all of us at some point think that if and when,
right,
then all will be. And the reality is that it's never enough.
Sure.
You know, you can accomplish every goal, but if you think that goal is going to solve everything, you're going to be severely disappointed.
Right.
And what was told to me is like, you know, you're enough just like you are, right?
Right.
You're enough. And once you know that, it actually helps you live up to your potential.
Sure.
But enjoy the ride. Like the gift is the journey.
Sure.
If you think about it. And in other words, and if you're not getting that same feeling that you think you're going to get if and when you accomplish the goal, then even if you accomplish the goal, it won't be enough.
Absolutely.
And I was like, wow, like that's gold. That right there is juice. Like is what I, you know, it's like, that's it. And that helps you give that, like, here's success to me.
Right.
Perspective, everything that you just said before. Right. Because right now I think a lot of people would look at you, go, he's successful, you know, and it's funny cause then we'll look at ourselves and go, no, but he or she is above us.
Sure.
And the reality is that it's a choice for us to say, but man, I'm having a blast right now.
Absolutely.
This is success.
For sure, man.
So, and then it's almost easier to scale it. Right.
Right.
So, cause you're actually enjoying the process. Right. So man, if you didn't hear anything else in this show, I think that was it. So good stuff. My favorite question or statement is this next one. Mm-hmm. So, and honestly, there are no rules. Okay. Except remember it's a family friend. Sure.
Really appreciate you guys.
All right. See you. All right. Bye. Guys, really trying to leave a lot, Kevin. I don't know.
He's been great, guys.
No, actually, you're not allowed to leave without this one. All right.
All right. All right.
Just kidding. All right. So finish this statement, John. Donald, Kevin, if you really knew me though, like if you really knew me, you would know.
If you really knew me. Oh man,
If we give examples typically, because I think we try to make it harder than it is. So like one, like I'll tell you mine that's kind of funny. Like if you really knew me, you would know that food really is just a catalyst for the sauce that I put on it. Like I'm a sauce guy. I mean, and I like them all, you know, as long as it doesn't have horseradish in it, I'm good. Like so I just dump a sauce on it.
All right.
We had another guest that say pickle juice, like she'll love you forever if you just bring her pickle juice. Like what?
Super strange.
It's very strange. You know,
She said it was her sixth love language.
All right. Weird. Yeah. I mean, man, I got a few of these, but, Zoe will attest to this, that there was a good solid 3 years that I lived off of cafe mochas and chocolate chip cookies from Starbucks. Like that's all I ate.
All right. Well,
like breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That was it, man. Like I could go like days on it. I don't know. I don't know what was.
Hungry or like...
All right. Hold on. All right. So now I'm just mad, honestly. If I made that comment, I wouldn't be able to sit in this chair right now. I'd be, you know, and he's over here like kind of fit, and he goes, no, for 3 years it was coffee and cookies.
That was it.
Come on.
That was shows like, all the time, like, man. It's hard
Zoe
work.
Would show up to pick me up and just have it in the car already. Like, here's your chocolate chip cookie.
Wow.
Here's your cafe mocha.
Oh, that's awesome. That's
yeah, and it's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Well, good for you. All right. So now, guys, if you, jeez, we know the way to your heart now. I know how to get you back on the show.
That's right. That's right. That's
you know,
right.
We learn, you know, how to get them back.
Absolutely.
So that's awesome. Good deal. All right, man. Well, obviously, appreciate you coming in. This is one of my favorite parts. There's no rules to this either, but would love for you to, we'll break for a minute and kind of tune up and stuff, get ready. But if you could maybe tell us about a song that, you know, you would like to play for us, maybe how or if you wrote it, when you wrote it, and kind of the story behind it, and then sure. Let me hear you play it up.
Man, I've got my guitar player Marty with me, so we've been busting this song out a little bit while we've been in town, and it's actually a song I didn't write. We talked about great songwriters, and you know, so my new record, Any Night in Texas, it's actually got, if you guys want to go out and check it out, my website's johnwolfcountry.com, by the way, JONWOLFE country.com. I'm heavily influenced by George Strait and those guys. So if that's the world that you dig, then that's the world I live in. So we might have a love connection.
Love it. Yeah.
But man, this record has kind of a wide variety of things, from stuff that's as traditional as I've been in a long time to stuff that's, you know, a little, that has some, I guess, sort of, you know, pop melody leanings and stuff like that. And so there's a song that our fans have already kind of reacted to, and it's called Airport Kiss. And it was written by Shane McAnally, Red Atkins, and Brandy Clark. So it's one of those songs, mm-hmm. man, that was hanging out in town, and
some power.
And I said, man, I want to cut this. And so I think Marty and I are going to bust that out for you guys.
Nice.
Well, hold on. First, I can't wait to hear this. Have you ever made out in an airport? Have you ever, did this connect with you when you heard it? Because it took you to a time and place. Hey,
talking airplane or airport?
Either one.
Well, I mean, you know,
it could be about your friend or cousin, you know, if you need it to be.
That would be really weird, man. So no comment there, okay. man.
I'm just saying, if you didn't want to put you in the place of being the person,
knew that that happened.
You could say, "Well, I had a friend or my cousin." Yeah. Come on, guys.
Right.
Jeez.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, I think what sort of grabbed me about the song was, number one, the title. You know, I go, okay, wow, that's something that I want to know what this song is when I saw the title. And the melody is really great. You know, it's something that to me, I heard it kind of as a country melody, almost a George Strait melody. The demo was kind of produced in a pop manner, which is great, but I kind of knew what I wanted to do with it. And yeah, I mean, the sentiment of the song is just really cool. And I think we were talking about this yesterday. Of course, there's the nowadays, all the airport kisses take place outside where you get dropped off, mm-hmm. and the dude screaming, like, get out, hurry up, get out of here.
Yeah, there's no more dramatic romance anymore.
Right, like going and meeting, you know, meeting somebody at the gate, you know. So that's... It's high pressure stuff now, man. I mean, you know,
times have changed.
You pull up and you're just the game face immediately. Yep. That one security guy has his eyes on you immediately.
Yeah.
And you're afraid you're going to go to jail.
God forbid you short term park. No way. We'll just keep circling until they're there.
That's funny. And you bring up a good point. And hey, times change now. Like, the most romantic thing is the X-ray, where, you know, who knows what's people looking
for. What could happen? Clothes.
All right. So, yeah. So much for the romance and running and dramatic hug and makeout. So now we're just like, nope, let me see through your clothes real quick. All right.
Anything can happen at the X-ray machine, man.
I love it.
You never know.
All right. Well, hey, you did well in kind of skirting that answer. So let's get started.
I love it.
We're going to hit stop. We're going to tune up. And then, man, I'd love for you to play it for us.
Absolutely.
Middle of a bar, but the way you're looking, I don't care where we are. I want everyone to stare, say, look at those fools. I want everyone to say, why don't you get a room? Give me an airport kiss, like you're gonna miss me so bad, like I'm going somewhere so far, so fast, might not come. Scene, make it slow, baby, put on a show with your lips, like I'm about to board, like I'm moving across the country or going off to war. Even though it's just another Saturday night, yeah, I wanna get high without taking a flight. Give me an airport kiss, like you're gonna miss me so bad, like I'm going somewhere so far, so fast. Might not come back, don't stop, like that plane's about to take off. Come on, make the scene, make it slow, baby. Put on a show with your lips. Give me an airport kiss. Like I'm about to leave, like this could be the last, baby. Grab me by the shirt and pull me back. Give me an airport kiss, like you're gonna miss me so bad, like I'm going somewhere so far, so fast. Might not come back, don't stop, like that plane's about to take off. Come on, make it long, make a scene, make it slow, baby. Put on a show with your lips. Even in a place like this, give me an airport kiss. Just like you're gonna miss me, baby. Give me an airport kiss.
Woo!
Oh, yeah!
That was awesome. You guys want to keep that one? That one's great. Yeah, we're keeping that one. Fantastic.
Nice.
Sweet.
Woo!
Hey, right. I could totally envision...
Job, Marty? Marty, to Broadway we go!
Hey, Kevin?
Yeah?
When I have that special someone and I want to make out in an airport, that's how I envision it, right there. Hey, John, thanks so much for coming on. You may not know this as well, but if you could, if I were to ask you to come on again, would you do it?
Man, absolutely. I really do appreciate you guys having me, and I had a great time. It was my first podcast experience, and I'm hooked, man. I mean, you guys, can you hire me just as like another dude?
Well, you have to get in line.
Donald, go ahead.
Well, all right. So since you have now said that, Kevin Super Sick McCarty is also my non-legal counsel. He has that on recording. So, Kevin, did you hear that he would come back on the show?
Yes.
You are officially now legally required. I took one class of law school in college.
That's right.
So that certifies me as a lawyer.
That's correct. That's correct.
Now, I love it.
But no, honestly, come back on, guest. Co-host,
okay.
All of it. All right. Do it. I mean,
love it.
It's going to be great.
I love
Big party.
It. I love it.
Awesome, done. Guys. Hey, you guys, make sure to check out John Wolf. It's johnwolf.com, right?
johnwolfcountry.com.
johnwolfcountry.com. Yep. Obviously, follow him on his social medias, and hey, you need to go hear this guy play live, so I'm sure you can find all those dates. Yep. And hey, if you're not listening to every one of my episodes, shame on you. So, you know, I won't be mad at you, but the only way you would not want to listen to this is if you don't like hearing amazing stories and amazing talent and amazing songs. So if you don't like any of that, listen, you totally shouldn't listen.
Do not listen.
Do not listen to my show. I'm okay with that. But if you do like all that, please share, subscribe. And if you need help, reach out to Kevin Super Sick McCarty. I'll show you how. All right, guys, we'll see you on the other side.
This has been Hits Collecting Dust. Please support this podcast and the artists featured by going to iTunes, subscribing, and leaving us a review.